I'll wait for this bitch to stop drinking water.
And there's our beginning clip.
Welcome to Mysteretical, where we take a theoretical approach to solving mysteries. So pack your bags and join us for this week's Mysteretical, the Denver Airport Conspiracy. Hey everyone, welcome to the first episode of Mysteretical. I'm JP.
And I'm Lynn, and we're doing a weekly podcast, and we're going to break down a mystery every week, alternating who tells the story.
So we'll talk through the mystery, present possible theories, and then come up with some of our own.
And it'll be a jolly good time.
A very jolly good time. So I'm JP, of course, as I mentioned. I fell in love with true crime and mysteries when I was really young. My sister and I used to sit there at midnight and watch Unsolved Mysteries. And so the house would be completely dark. We'd have a bag of Martin's potato chips because those are the best potato chips in the world. And we would pretty much go through the entire bag of potato chips while we mindlessly watched Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, I don't.
They were so good.
I'm from the East Coast and I don't know what Martin's potato chips are.
I think that they're only sold in like PA, in the the PA area.
Gotcha.
But oh my God, they were so good. And they made like different flavors and everything. But anyways, we would just eat the potato chips nonstop, just like devour the bag. My parents would wake up the next morning and wonder, like, what the hell happened to all the chips? But that adrenaline and serotonin rush that would go through me while we were watching Unsolved Mysteries or Rescue 911 or whatever like creepy true crime show was on was just like amazing.
Yes.
It was just the only thing that, you know, gave me that excitement when I was younger. I loved roller coasters and stuff. So just like the same feeling.
Oh my God, we should go to Six Flags.
We should take a trip back to my hometown and go to Hershey Park.
I've never been.
I cannot believe you've never been to Hershey Park.
I've only done Philly, really. That's why.
Oh, did you go to Dorney Park? Mm-mm. That's right outside of Philly. We would go there every July 4th because there was no lines.
So from my apartment, I'm about 20 minutes from Six Flags, and we used to go every Christmas, like me and a friend. We would go and just ride because there would be no one there. It'd be kind of cold.
Yeah.
Because the wind would be cold, but my dad, I remember, called me one time and was like, "You at the airport?" And I had a red eye and I was like, "I'm about to get on a roller coaster, but I'll call you when I get there."
That was the fun of it, though, because you could actually do the whole park in one day rather than having to wait in line. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We both grew up on the East Coast.
Yep.
Although our potato chips were more Canadian influenced and they were called All Dressed and they were delicious. They were something. They had and we had ketchup chips.
Oh, ketchup chips. Yes. Oh. We had ketchup chips. We had the Heinz factory in Pittsburgh.
Oh, so yeah, yeah.
Ketchup chips were right there.
But the Heinz, not the Heinz, you threw me off. The All Dressed ones were like, it was one Ruffle potato chip, but it was ketchup chips, salt, like sour cream and onion. And salt and vinegar and pickle.
We did not have those.
Like all together. And they're the most delicious.
That sounds amazing.
It sounds kind of gross when I say like pickle and sour cream and ketchup, but it was just, oh, they're so good. And I haven't had them in ages, but
yeah.
No,
you have to get me some next time.
I will. I should get like a bunch of bags and just ship them home.
I apologize.
Technically I was born in New Hampshire and I moved to Maine when I was 10, but I lived in Maine longer and I remember all of it, where New Hampshire I was a baby, so I don't fully remember it. But I originally got into true crime because my family are psycho, not in a bad, like good psychos, but they're all psycho.
Yeah,
so I always like telling the story and my sister hates it, but my sister and my brother lived in Texas when they were really 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 little with my mom, and this was like the early 80s, so you know, rules about age in movie theaters was not super enforced like it is
now. You could easily sneak in.
Yeah. Oh, and if you were with your parents, so
then it's like go for it.
I think my sister was like 6 and my brother was like 3 or 7 and 4 or whatever. And they went to a double feature at the drive-in to see Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No.
And then whenever I say that, my sister goes, "We were there to see Gremlins." And I was like, "It's still not great. It's better, but it's not." For a little kid, though, Gremlins could be scary. Like,
terrifying. Yeah.
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 Now like kitschy and fun because it's so 80s and they look like evil Furbies. Well, I think all
they Furbies, are evil Furbies.
Furbies look evil anyway, but.
Yeah, they do.
So I've loved, like, when I was really little, I was afraid of everything. I couldn't watch Sleeping Beauty, but as I got a little bit older, when the dragon, all right, think of Snow White, think of how scary that witch is. And then she like falls off the cliff and there's thunder and the rock like drops. It's terrifying.
I don't know. You know what? I think that it was The Fox and the Hound terrified me.
That didn't scare me. It just made me cry a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It made me cry a lot too, but I loved that movie. It was the cutest movie.
It's so good. I watched it somewhat recently. Anyway, so when I was really young, I was afraid of a lot of things, but I got over it really fast. And I do really love horror movies. And I was afraid of those things in cartoons.
Yeah.
But probably from the age of 7, I've been watching Unsolved Mysteries, Forensic File. The news in general. At the age of 10, I watched 9/11 on TV, which people, I don't know. I feel like people don't realize how traumatizing that is when I'm 10 and I'm watching it happen. Like it was like we were children and we watched 10,000 people die or tragic.
Yep.
But I also grew up watching all that stuff with my family, my mom or not really my sister, but.
It was only ever my sister. No one ever joined us. Like, and it was only I have 2 older sisters. So it was only my oldest sister and I would just sit there watching it. My middle sister was always off doing, I mean, she's a sleeper. So she was always off sleeping.
That's all my sister was doing. She was always sleeping.
Yeah. Or at a friend's house or something. She never really like watched those shows with us.
Yeah. It was more my mom. I more watched it all with my mom because my brother wasn't really around either because I'm way younger.
Well, are you ready to dive into our mystery this week?
I'm so excited.
So I'll be presenting the mystery. It's the Denver Airport Conspiracy. And this one just really captured my attention a long time ago. And I just fell in love with like the different, it's like a bunch of different clues that are separated. But when you put them all together, it's like, what the heck? You know, what is actually happening?
I only know the little bits and pieces that you've told me. I've never even heard of it before now. So
it's very, it's covered elsewhere and everything, which is how I learned about it. But, you know, it's definitely grown more popular in the 2000s and whatnot. But before, I think probably 2006, it wasn't really known about too much. I mean, people kind of knew about it, but only like in-depth conspiracy theorists and stuff knew.
Right. Oh, I'm so excited.
So the Denver Airport is located in Denver.
Oh, is that in Ohio?
Yeah, close, Colorado. It's the largest airport in North America by acreage. It's the second largest airport in the world, the first being in Saudi Arabia. So it's kind of bizarre that Denver, of all places, like you would think New York or LA or something would have one of the largest airports. But
I actually think Atlanta and Charlotte are humongous.
Yeah. I mean, even LAX is large. Like I got lost in there and I don't usually get lost.
But LAX is a horseshoe where Boston Logan Airport is, it's structured like the city. Cattle roads. So it makes no sense. There's no system. I've lost my car in parking lots. I couldn't find the bus. Like, it's a nightmare.
The Denver Airport was originally scheduled to open in October 1993. There were a bunch of delays, though, from design changes, airline requirement changes, and even strikes from the workers just pushed it back. Mm. And then something else that we're about to talk about is the baggage system. That caused numerous delays and tons of money. Ooh. So the mayor ended up pushing back the opening date quite a bit, quite a few times as well. And in April 1994, reporters came to check out the new baggage system. They thought that it would be okay to start allowing them to come see it. So the baggage system, which is completely underground, was hailed as a revolutionary baggage transport system that was fully automated. So there was no workers carrying bags from one belt to another, anything like that. There's 22 miles of tracks and conveyor belts.
Wow.
And there's little to no human interaction. So this would take away a lot of jobs from people, because there was an airport that was considered the Denver airport. I forget the name of it, but there was an airport that was considered like the Denver airport before this large one was built.
Denver Airport 1.0.
1.0. It began with an S. But that's all I know.
Denver.
Denver. But this one, like, it would have cut some jobs, but it would have been fully automated and completely, like, innovative as far as, you know, airport baggage systems go.
Well, in 2020, that would be very convenient.
Right? Yeah. I mean, for sure. Less people touching your bags, less interaction with potentially hazardous or viral people.
Yeah.
So the reporters went down because it was completely underground. The reporters went down and the whole area was trash. There was clothes scattered everywhere, personal effects, the machinery that would move the luggage from one belt to another. So, you know, it would get loaded off the plane and onto a belt. And then, of course, like, it would scan the tag and be like, oh, this person's going to Miami. And so it would move it over to the Miami plane belt or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that system ended up, instead of moving the bags from one to another, it would knock them off the belt itself or crush the luggage or tear it open and rip all the clothing out. So it was
movie. Like a hobo living down there that was rummaging through people's stuff.
It was like a comedy movie. You invite all the reporters in and then all of a sudden bags are flying everywhere.
Oh my God.
Clothes are going everywhere. Like just completely, I mean, it was embarrassing. And so the mayor ended up pushing back the opening date even more so they could fix the baggage system. They ended up terminating the baggage system and implementing a regular baggage system where handlers take them from one belt to another.
Yep. Because,
I mean,
well, and I see flaws happening with the scanning of the tags.
Yeah.
I see it. A lot. Already am guessing. Because what if the tag was on the other side? How did the thing read it?
Uh-huh. And that would cost airlines so much money. Like, oh, we got to ship
and
this
just
bag.
Such a headache. You would always be worried that your bag was going to get lost.
Yes. So, I mean, I'm sure that would have driven people away from Denver. But
yeah.
September 25th, 1994, Denver Airport had a fly-in. So basically a bunch of pilots got to like come in and test out flying in and out of the airport. They toured the grounds and the FAA could test procedures and quality control over the radio coverage between pilots and airport workers just to make sure everything was working and everything was functional. And, you know, seemingly so it was. It officially opened, the airport officially opened February 28th, 1995. So that's 2 years behind schedule.
Wow.
16 months. So almost
2 years. Yeah. Year and a half.
$2 billion over budget, which is $3.5 billion today.
Oh my God.
It cost $4.8 billion total, which is about $8 billion today.
From an airport?
Uh-huh. Oh. Yep. So where
is that is that taxpayer money?
The question is, where did that money come from?
Right.
I mean,
That part of it?
It is.
Oh.
$2 billion over budget? How do you get that money?
Yeah.
So we won't really like dive into it, but that's one of the biggest questions is where this money came from. And one of the things that we'll touch on is a committee that could have funded it.
But my question is who normally funds airport building? Is it are airports privately owned?
I'm sure that some of it comes from taxpayers. Some of it probably comes from the government, like the US government.
Because now I'm curious. I've never thought of who pays for airports to be built.
Okay. Airports are typically funded by federal grants through the FAA's Airport Improvement Program, passenger facility charge, and tenant rents and fees. So my guess is like airlines would also pitch in, especially if that's going to be a hub or something for their airline.
That makes sense.
They would pitch in. Next, let's talk about the roof. One of the terminals has this like white fabric roof that's shaped in the shape of like the top of a mountain, like a snow-capped mountain. They look like...
It's very Denver of them.
Yeah.
Or like a circus tent.
Yeah. And it was kind of after the early... It was dedicated to the early history of Colorado, Native American teepees in the Great Plains.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is right there. But there was a blizzard in March 2003, and the weight of the snow tore a hole in one of the roofs of the terminal. And like, I think it was like 2 feet of snow landed inside of that terminal. So
like
people
on
like,
people?
Yeah, I mean.
Like you have to walk around the snow.
Right. And then like over 2 feet of snow on the roads, runways, the airport closed for 2 days. Several thousand people were stranded at Denver. So you'd think like Denver would have implemented, I mean, they probably ran out of money, but they they should have implemented like some sort of like clearing program. I mean, it's Denver, you know?
Yeah, when you live somewhere where there's weather, we know how to deal. Like when you southern states, they have 2 inches of snow, they're like, oh, everything's closed. And where there's snow, I've lived through driving bans, which are the only times where there was too much snow and there was nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
But even then, we had the equipment and the salt to deal with it.
Right.
Yeah.
So the weight of the snow tore a hole in the roof.
It's just poor planning, I think.
Yeah. So after that catastrophe, they invested in snow removal equipment, which was actually like ahead of its time.
Wow.
So yeah, so they've been able to, you know, clear the runways and stuff pretty quickly after snowfall or during snowfall, keep it clear for planes to land and planes to go out. So closures of 48 hours haven't happened since that I know of.
I mean, I've never, even in Maine, I don't think our tiny airport has ever like flights would be canceled if it's too dangerous, but the airport would never close.
Right. Yeah. I worked for a company in Alaska for a while, and we did a lot with like the transportation systems in Alaska, because a lot of the only ways that you can get around in Alaska is by planes.
Yeah.
And even, I mean, their runways were like rock and stuff. And that was one of the biggest things that they had to overcome, was how are we going to keep our runway clear so that,
right,
I mean, in the event of something like that, like a blizzard or something, how do we get off, you know? And
because that's a lot of people in Alaska that live out in the middle of nowhere. That's their one way to get food,
completely
mail, everything. Yeah.
Yep.
Medical attention.
Yeah.
I watch Life Below Zero. I know how it is. You can't fall off a ladder. You might die because it'll take 10, 20 hours for someone to get to you. Never mind if it's snowing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So let's steer next towards the artwork in the Denver airport, which is actually pretty significant. During construction and after opening, they had set aside a large portion of the budget for art. Specifically for art. Yeah.
$1 billion.
Another billion. A corridor from the main terminal and a concourse displays temporary art exhibits from like local artists and stuff like that. So they're very, very, you know, artsy. And local art.
The Philly airport does that.
Yeah, not just, you know, any old person. A number of the public art is displayed in the underground train that links the main terminal with the concourse. In 2013, USA Today honored Denver Airport for having one of the 10 best airports for public art in the United States.
That's cool.
Yeah. So there is a bronze statue of Denver native Jack Swigert.
Swigert.
I'm sure we will get a lot of slack about that, but it's Swigert.
Swigert.
He flew on Apollo 13 and was elected into the House of Representatives in 1982.
That's cool.
Died of cancer before he was sworn in, though. So didn't make it there.
It's less cool.
Yeah. The statue is dressed in a pressurized suit, posed holding a gold-plated helmet, and it's a duplicate statue of the one that is placed in the U.S. Capitol in 1997.
That's cool.
In 1993, one of the first pieces of arts that was commissioned was a giant blue Mustang. People call it Blucifer in... in the local area. The artist was born in El Paso but lived in Denver. It's actually inspired by the sculpture Mesteno at the University of Oklahoma. It's 32 feet tall.
Oh my God.
Bright blue cast fiberglass sculpture with glowing red eyes located between the lanes of the main road to the airport.
So, I'm not going to lie. When you first said Mustang, I pictured a car.
No, it's the horse. This
no, I got that.
But the eyes do glow red.
That's crazy.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
So
it sounds cool.
Yeah.
Lucifer makes sense now.
Yes. And in case you're wondering, it does have a giant horse wiener. So,
yay! The most important part.
Right. He was not neutered, if that's something that they do there.
I mean, neither is that giant bull in New York, so.
No. Yeah. This one, like, the horse is on its hind legs, so, like, it's showing all glory. Like, there is no turning away from it. So here's the creepy thing. The artist was killed in 2006. So, as I mentioned, it was commissioned in 1993, so the artist designed it, and it takes time and everything.
Yeah.
So in 2006, he was still working on it. And at the age of 65, while creating the sculpture, they were moving it, and a large piece of, I believe it was the head, fell on him and severed an artery in his leg.
Yeah. No.
So there's a lot of, like, bad juju around this.
Blucifer.
Just before he died, he had completed painting the head of the Mustang, and it was completed by his kids after his death.
Aww,
so yeah, they unveiled it at the airport on February 11th in 2008. So there's obviously a lot of controversy around it, and Blucifer came from its demonic appearance.
Yep.
With the red glowing eyes,
and it's a giant wang.
Yeah, and it's giant wang. And people say that the glowing red eyes are a nod to the fourth horseman of the apocalypse, which is death.
Oh. So it's more, yeah, okay.
Conspiracy.
Yeah.
The artist once said that the color red was in honor of the wild spirit of the American West. And it also pays
homage
to his father, who worked on neon signs.
Wow.
Like he made neon signs. So it was kind of like a throwback.
It's sweet, but it's creepy. Different. Yeah.
The next piece of art we're going to talk about are the murals. This is the next, like, big thing. Lots of questions surrounding it. I mean, there is a YouTube of the artist discussing it, which he gives a lot of his, you know, opinions on it and how it came to be and stuff. And it was really interesting to watch. But there's four murals in the airport that people claim have Illuminati symbolism.
Ooh.
Yes. They show scenes that include caged animals, fires, people suffering, and a weird soldier with a blade wearing a gas mask. So the one mural.
Is it Kanye?
It's not. Well, we don't know. He's wearing a gas mask. There's one mural called Children of the World Dream of Peace. And the first section was that soldier. And some say it looks like a Nazi soldier wearing a gas mask. He's holding a gun and a sword. And there's a giant rainbow behind him in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
There are dead children in rubble and mothers holding what looks to be dead babies weeping. The mothers are weeping, not the dead babies. And there's a dove flying downward as if it's been struck. And then at the bottom right corner, there's an excerpt from a child. It's a poem from a child who died in Auschwitz. Yeah, let me pull it up. I'm going to show it to you so you can
I think there was, this is off of probably Tumblr, so don't quote it as fact because it's probably not, but there was some general or something in that was there for D-Day that had a sword. Like he stormed the beach on D-Day with a sword. I wonder if it's supposed to be him. I don't remember his name.
Show you this pic.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's really strange. Yeah.
So the second section of that painting is of that mural is a huge rainbow hugging children of all ethnicities. Toward the front, there's a blonde-haired, blue-eyed German boy holding a hammer that is deconstructing the sword. I mean, the sword is still present.
Yeah.
And you can tell that it is the same sword. People suggest that it was commissioned by the Illuminati or New World Order, and that a Nazi uprising from the bunkers below the airport, which we will get to, is imminent.
Ooh.
Also in the picture, there's a Bavarian outfit. So a lot of people, they kind of critique it as that we are kind of, you know, devoting or it's in honor of Germany of some sorts. Here's the boy with the hammer.
Oh, yeah.
And he's holding the sword here. Doesn't he look kind of
Aryan?
Yes.
Yeah, because blonde hair and blue eyes is the Aryan, the Aryan dream, even though Germans are not Aryan.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, the way that is implied to me is that the white kid is saving everyone.
Everyone, right. Another mural is called In Peace and Harmony with Nature. This one shows trees burning in the background, a dead child in a coffin, animals in like these clear boxes that are surrounding the coffin along with other children, and a Native American laid inside the center coffin, and it looks like he's holding, and I know that there is probably a correct term for this, but he's holding a doll of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
The secondary mural next to it, because they come in twos, so it's always like the first mural shows the destruction or the sad part, and the second shows the happy part or what it's meant to, you know, be, or what he dreams of or hopes for. It's children united and animals rejoicing and surrounding a new plant that's in the center growing upward that has many different colors, and it's just like a different, I guess it's like supposed to be a step into the next evolution.
Yeah.
So the conspiracy theory is that the artwork provides clues about the end of the world is one conspiracy theory. And then the others are saying that it's the Illuminati funded it and everything, or that the New World Order funded it.
Right.
Which is also tied to Nazism and the Aryan.
Yeah. Ideal stuff. Idea or whatever. Yeah.
The artist, as I mentioned, did a YouTube video kind of explaining, because it kind of hurts his feelings that people take it in like so many different ways.
Yeah.
And it was commissioned before 9/11 and everything.
Yeah.
So obviously like post 9/11, we look at these things and we're like, why would you put that in an airport? Like, and like sadness and stuff like that. So it was commissioned before that. And so the post 9/11 views of it have obviously changed. He was a prominent muralist in Denver, which is why they commissioned him for the pieces. He says that it's about peace and justice and abolishing violence in society. He thought we needed to take care of our earth and one another. And if we don't, this could be our world. Basically, like mural one and both of them could be our world if we don't start, you know, caring and taking care of each other and stuff. The mural with the soldier holding the gun depicted the problem, and the larger murals were solving the problem.
That makes sense.
I've already said, yeah.
That makes sense, though, because, I mean, it sucks that people see something that he saw as, like, this is what society needs to be versus what it can be and kind of is. Well, when I say kind of, I mean, it is. But art can be interpreted so many different ways. And then when you add conspiracy theorists to it, they're gonna jump to, oh, this is Illuminati or whatever, which I believe the Illuminati is real. I don't think Jay-Z and Beyonce and Kanye West are in it, but
I mean, they could be doing a really good job.
I think they're just,
needed a little snack.
Do it. What are you eating? Are those pretzel things?
Yeah. I love these.
The onion ones or the everything ones? Those are my
favorite. Are plain.
I like them with hummus. They're like extra crunchy or salty or what? I don't know what they are, mm-hmm. but.
Okay. We'll touch more on the murals later when we get to theories. It is a very short theory section because I do kind of discuss the theories as we're talking about each, you know, point.
Yeah.
I think traditionally what we're going to try and do is have the story and then have the theories. But this one is just so in depth that like it's easier to cover the theories as we're going through them all.
Right. Right.
So now let's get into the mysterious tunnels I was telling you about earlier.
Yes.
There are underground tunnels and a train that runs through them between concourses. They are numbered. Whenever you like take the elevator, you're going down.
Yeah.
And you hit three and it takes you to the tunnels.
Okay.
So you hit the number three, but there's no number two and there's no number one.
Okay.
So why go... Why is level three?
So what's on two and one?
Was it built on top? Was three built on top of floors two and one? And are floors two and one just secret and hidden? Anyway, other portions of the tunnels were for the malfunctioned baggage system. People do work in these tunnels, you know, the airport workers, the baggage people that, you know, carry
it. Yeah.
Another that don't rip open the luggage. Well, they probably do.
Well, they probably do.
Yeah, especially if it's not locked. There are allegedly intricate pieces of art in these tunnels too, but why would there be art if no one was to ever see it? Like, no public was ever supposed to go downstairs. So why would you have these beautiful pieces of artwork?
Right.
I mean, you're not going to do it just for the 1,000 workers that work there, you know?
Right.
Usually, especially back then, like nobody cared about company culture or anything. So they just, you get.
I don't even think the Disney tunnels have artwork.
No. I mean, I could ask my friend. She did do like her Disney internship. But
yeah, I've seen pictures. I have a lot of friends that work at Disney World, but I've seen pictures of the tunnels and they just look plain.
Yeah.
Whatever. And they're not creepy. They're well lit. And there's Mickey Mouse is walking around. So whatever.
Yeah. Contractors who worked on the tunnels during the initial construction claimed that they saw bunker entrances that were covered up and unexplained tunnels.
Ooh.
Right? Intrigue. It's theorized that the tunnels also contain underground bunkers, levels 2 and 1.
That's so creepy.
So let's dive into that a little bit. They could have been built by or for lizard people. The reptilians.
Right.
Others say that the tunnels will serve as a safe haven for the elite during the apocalypse.
Everyone run to Denver.
I mean, I would. Especially, like, I would run. I would go to floor three and then figure out how I'm going to get to 2 and 1.
Yep. Well, and I also think if I was going to be stranded somewhere, I would want it to be somewhere like Colorado where I could hide and live in the woods and just live off the land.
According to the Denver Post, there are theories that the tunnels lead to the North American Aerospace Defense Command.
Ooh.
But
is that where Space Force is?
I'm not sure. My guess
Space
is
Force.
Space Force is probably in the Pentagon.
Yeah, probably.
It's located about 100 miles south of the airport in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. So it would be an expensive mode of travel, and it could probably take decades to dig a tunnel 100 miles south.
Yeah.
But you never know. I mean, this is for the reptilians or the elite, and the elite could have paid a lot of money.
Right.
The airport was delayed an extra 16 months.
Right.
So if you have people working nonstop, I feel like you could probably make it 100 miles with some heavy machinery and stuff.
I wonder if it would be like the H.H. Holmes Hotel.
Yeah,
where he they would the hire secret. And he would like, they would build a part of the tunnel and then find a reason to fire everybody and right. then have other people build the next part.
Yeah, or just pay him or just kill them afterwards, honestly.
Yeah,
or just pay them a lot of money and try to convince them, hey, don't rat us out.
But, yeah.
You know. Let's move on to the capstone or the time capsule. Mm-hmm. There is a time capsule that was laid in March 19, 1994. There's a capstone on top, and inscribed in the capstone, or the dedication for the capstone, it's to the people of Colorado in 2094. So they can't open it until 2094.
Wow.
And that's when we'll actually know the truth behind it or what was buried in there.
Not to be a OCD person, but why couldn't they have waited till 2000 and then open it in 3000?
Right. I mean, that probably would have made more sense, especially, well, I mean, I guess.
I guess if you're laying concrete and stuff.
Yeah. But, it was supposed to be close to the opening of the airport. So in the plaque for the capsule, it has the square encompasses symbol, which it's a Freemason symbol. And it also has the names of two grandmasters. Now, there are a lot of Masonic temples in the Denver area, according to like one of the YouTube videos I watched.
Mm-hmm.
And they did hire two grandmasters to kind of like help build, or I think that they got some funding from it. They built the granite capstone made the granite capstone or whatever for right. the time capsule. Also carved is credit to the New World Airport Commission.
No, don't like that. Don't no like it.
No one has ever been able to track down who the New World Airport Commission is.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to track it down.
It doesn't actually exist.
That's creepy.
Yeah, I did read an article that said it was supposed to be the new comma World Airport Commission. They just didn't put the comma, but I don't believe that.
Mm-mm.
I mean, even that doesn't make any sense.
No.
There's a Braille tablet rising from the capstone or from the dedication, you know, the plaque, where people are saying that if you touch it the right way, it's a keypad that releases toxic gas. Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Or maybe it opens the lower
That's
two floors.
That's what I would think. I would think it would open something. I don't think it would release toxic
Yeah, my
gas.
First go-to would be that it opens something.
Yeah.
Which could be...
But if you're not like the people in The Mummy and you're not looking for booby traps and hidden doors, then you're not going to find it.
No. And I mean, it could be that the Illuminati headquarters... is under there, or that's how you get to the reptilian bunker.
Right.
There's, no, I already said that.
Both of which I do not want to do.
No. Conspiracy theorists say that if you add all of the numbers in the dedication date, remember that was March 19, 1994, so that's 3 plus 1 plus 9 plus 1 plus 9 plus 9 plus 4, it comes to 33. Uh-huh. And 33 in Freemasonry represents perfection and the highest degree in Masonry that you can hold.
Interesting.
Right? Creepy.
I don't like math.
So now let's move to the gargoyles.
There's gargoyles?
Yeah, there's everything here. Rainbows, army.
Yeah. Guys. Gargoyles is a left turn that I only think of Notre Dame and Beauty and the Beast and Disney show from when I was five.
The gargoyle that is in baggage claim is called Notre Denver, which is after Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
So that gargoyle is sitting in a suitcase watching over baggage claim. There's another gargoyle that looms over the bathrooms.
Ew.
Some believe that they harbor evil, but the artist was like, oh, baggage claim is like a cathedral. But didn't really go into explaining why he thought it was a cathedral.
But aren't I don't know this, but aren't gargoyles supposed to be some type of guardian? Because they're on churches. They're to guard against evil. They're not evil themselves. Because if they were, they wouldn't be on churches.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's go into like the two things that I've touched on. Who was it built by?
Mm-hmm.
The New World Order. No one knows who built the Denver airport, as I mentioned. People mm-hmm. think it could have been built by the New World Order. Some say that the airport runways are in the shape of a Nazi symbol. Now, let me clarify. It's the Nazi symbol. So let me show you.
Is there more than one?
No, it's just the swastika.
Okay.
Well, no, I think there are.
There
multiple.
Are, because they have different medals and stuff. Yeah. There.
So this is like a high level view. Now let me show you.
It does look like one.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. Now let me show you. I drew over it so that you can kind of like see it laid out and everything. But there is.
Yeah.
The swastika. But it is good design for weather purposes. Like.
Okay.
So if the wind is blowing from the south, like really heavily or they something, have you take the other one.
Different angles.
Whatever.
Yeah. Right. They have different directions you could take off and land from. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's the Nazi soldier that was in the mural mm-hmm. and the Aryan kid that was in the mural as well.
Yep.
And the devotion to Germany. So now let's talk about our next, you know, side theory. That it contains Illuminati headquarters.
Right.
There are unmarked buildings, and then there's the tunnels, which maybe have two floors underneath of them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. But there are also unmarked buildings on the acres and acres that are the Denver airport that nobody knows. I mean, sure, maybe somebody does, or maybe
yeah,
they
somebody
know
has
like
to.
An excuse of what it is.
Some employee had to be nosy. Some uh-huh. janitor or just ticket counter person was like, I have access. So
yeah, we should look into missing workers from the Denver airport. Ooh. I mean, it's not Fort Hood, but.
Yeah.
So the capstone then with the Freemasonry symbols. Freemasons are often linked to the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
Could the Illuminati money have paid for the airport so that they could use the property? I mean, remember that they were $2 billion over budget.
Right.
That money came from somewhere.
And it's so much money.
Right. And could it have been supplied by the Illuminati so that they could use the property for their headquarters or hide things on the property or use those unmarked buildings to access the two lower tunnels or the two lower bunkers?
Do they have to go to security before they go down there?
No, obviously not. They're the Illuminati. They probably have like their iris scanned or something.
Yeah.
I mean, let's call Nick Cage. He could probably break into it for us. According to the airport website, rumors say that the first few buildings on the property were not built properly. And instead of demolishing them, they buried them and built more buildings on top of them, which would give the Illuminati its own underground lair.
Right. That's a weird way to deal with buildings that didn't
work.
Come out
but that's
right.
not, I don't think that's fact. It's just.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm
rumors
just.
Rumors are saying.
If we're going with what makes sense, that's a weird way to deal with. Built. No one does that. No one's like, this building didn't work. Knock it down and just build one on top of it. Like, that's not a thing.
Uh-uh. So what do you think?
I have so many feelings. I feel like for the murals, I feel like that one's just misunderstood. Especially since the artist is still alive and is like upset.
Explaining it, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like art is taken in so many different ways and it's hard to analyze all of that. I think the horse thing is creepy and tragic. And I don't believe in lizard people.
I don't believe in lizard people, but I do believe in the Illuminati. And
yes.
I do believe that there could be a secret society involved in whatever happens is happening. I mean, I don't know. The tunnels are just creepy. And why would you put so much money and so much, like, it was not a project that was planned properly.
Right.
And, you know, just me looking at it from a project management standpoint, because I have a lot of experience with project management, is that I don't think that this many slip-ups could have happened.
Right.
Yes, you have different companies working on different aspects of the baggage system. You know, there's computer engineers that have to put together the computers. There's
The people that lay the runways or draw the plans for the runways. Yeah.
So you have so many different groups. I don't know. I think at some point before $2 billion extra dollars was spent on this, they would have shut it down or said, okay, it's obviously not working. Let's stop. Let's call it quits. Let's not keep, you know, what is it? Banging a dead horse or whatever.
Kicking a dead horse.
Yeah. Let's stop.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Or let's like put a new plan in place and try and figure it out after we open the airport so that the airport can start making some money and we don't have to delay it another few months.
Right. I think the biggest thing for me is that money. It's such a humongous amount of money to not know.
$2 billion.
To not know where it came from.
Yeah. And
for an airport. Yes, I expect an airport to be very, very expensive. I know. So my dad builds football stadiums, like NFL football stadiums.
Oh, wow.
And I know the one out here in LA is the most one of this one and the new one in Vegas, they're like the most expensive ones. They were $5 billion.
I did pass the Raiders.
Yeah, the new one.
Yeah, I passed it when I was in Vegas a couple years ago. Oh my God, that thing's huge.
Oh no, I've seen it recently. It's like done. It's right next to the highway, right? Because the older one I think is far. I don't know enough about sports to know if there is an old one.
I don't think there was an old one.
I don't think there's an old one. But he was like, yeah, it's plated with gold and whatever. And I know why the LA one was expensive, because they're dealing with earthquake stuff. So they have this huge screen thing that goes, I don't actually know if I'm legally allowed to talk about any of this on something that's going to go live. So I'm going to stop. But I know that they were like $5 billion to make, which even for a football stadium, that's a lot. It's usually like two or three. Five was extra. So to imagine $8 billion for an airport in regards to like picturing what happens at a football stadium and all the stuff that has to go into it and all the technology and the cables and the wiring, and they have trucks that are worth millions of dollars that are just trucks that are filled with electronics or whatever. I can see it being a lot of money to build an airport, but $8 billion.
Yeah. And that would have been.
That's you passing the hundred millions like a few times.
Yes. It breaks down. I mean, it's just insane.
It's too much. I don't. Yeah. That's crazy. That's the part that I think gets me where I definitely think it's some type of organization that wants to be kept secret. I believe the Masons are a little culty. I shouldn't say culty. Secret society-ish. And I believe in Illuminati and I believe in New World Order for sure. And I believe they're all connected or in cahoots, or maybe they're villains. I don't know. Are they nemesis to each other? Nemesis?
I could definitely see them secretly donating this money and like having a side deal saying, you know, we're going to take over the tunnels.
Yep.
And these secret bunkers.
And we'll give you $2 billion. Yeah.
Right. We'll give you the $2 billion that you're over budget, or we'll give you like the extra money that you're over budget. And you just
let us do our
thing. Us have this building that allows us access to our lower bunker.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see them being like, okay, cool.
Yeah, because you want your money to build your nice airport that you want.
Yep, and then that mayor, maybe he burned the pages or burned, you know, the evidence.
Well, and the thing that if it was the Illuminati, if that is the theory we're going with,
yeah,
then I don't think any of the artwork or the runway systems have anything to do with the Illuminati.
Well, there's Illuminati symbolism in the artwork, and the artwork was commissioned by this New World Airport Commission, you know? Right. So
maybe they bought the airport
and said, hey, you know, kind of thank us.
Yeah.
By putting our symbolism inside of your murals, suggest it to the artist, or by, you know, allowing our Freemasons to do all the concrete and everything.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, I wonder if they were all in on it from the beginning.
Yeah.
And they were just laying their plans.
There was a lot of like back and forth on where are we going to put the airport and everything.
Gotcha.
And it went on for a few years. And finally they settled on somewhere that's, I think it was 50 miles from downtown Denver, which is pretty far,
for a major city
airport. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It kind of was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And I think the way that they acquired the land, because it was like, so around the airport, there's nothing built up.
Right.
There's no hotels. There's no restaurants. There's nothing.
It's just the airport.
Just the airport alone. I mean, why isn't the city building up? So I think that there might be something with like land issues.
Right.
Where it could be owned by, you know, the Native American tribe.
I was gonna say, aren't there there's a lot of reservations out there,
right?
I think, so.
But even then, how did they get the land for the airport?
Right.
Did they just take it? And if they just took it, why didn't they continue to be assholes and
right.
take the rest of the land, you know?
So right, and build up businesses and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Because every other airport, especially major cities that I've been to, has
always
hotels, at least hotels surrounding it, and restaurants, at least.
Even in Maine, our terminal has like 5 gates. Nope, it has 9.
Yeah,
but ours. We have hotels and restaurants and stuff. Like, it's a small airport, but we have stuff around. Not tons of it, but.
No.
And it's close to the city. It's literally like you drive out and you can go to the mall.
I mean, think about like when that blizzard happened for 48 hours, people were stranded there because there wasn't a hotel for them to go to.
Right.
There wasn't a restaurant. So even after that happened, when they had that proof, they still didn't build up around it.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go there, and I really kind of don't.
I am. My roommate, I told her, hey, my like conspiracy is going to be, or my mystery is going to be on the Denver airport. And she was like, oh God, they have the creepiest murals. And didn't know too much about, I mean, she knew of the Denver airport conspiracy theory, but she didn't know too much or wasn't in depth about it. Didn't know that the murals were even a part of it. Like, she just heard about it. But even someone not going into there with like that mindset was like, yeah, something's off.
Well, that's why, I mean, if I ever go to Denver, which I'm sure I will, I snowboard, so I'm sure I will one day because we live in Los Angeles.
But yeah.
I feel like I'd be like, can we fly into Boulder? I don't want to go there. But a part of me knows that I probably would fly into Denver. And I would immediately be like, I'm going to look for everything. And I want to.
So I think they do tours around the airport. Like, and that's one thing that I want to talk about is that Denver, the airport, embraces the conspiracy.
Right.
Like, they don't hide it or anything. I mean,
some
of them they avoid a little bit. But they had construction going on, and they had a couple of signs up. And one, there was the gargoyle, and it says, what's happening behind this wall? And then it says, it gives you 3 options. Gargoyle breeding grounds, top secret Freemason meeting, or an improved airport experience.
I love that.
And then they had another one that was a construction hat, and it had the Illuminati eye on it. And it said, construction or cover up.
Oh, my God.
One more that I wanted to talk about was, there's a lizard person on one of the things and it says, what are we doing? And then it gives you three more options. And one is adding amazing new restaurants and bars. Two is building an Illuminati headquarters. And three is remodeling the lizard people's lair.
I think, so to me, that could either be just them having fun or whatever. Because I feel like if it was the Illuminati running all of that, they would not approve of you.
I mean, but you're hiding it in plain sight.
That's what I was going to say, because that's how I see aliens. I believe, I don't think we're the only things out there. I don't think there's any no way. But the government they're geniuses, because you go, I was abducted, I was probed, or I saw something or whatever. And they're like, that person's nuts.
And yes. Everyone believes the government.
Your reputation gets absolutely destroyed because you become this alien nut, which is terrible for that person.
Look at Area 51.
Yeah.
Completely, completely. Like,
but I think it's genius, yet not. It's genius, but it's terrible for the people that experience things or have seen things.
Yeah. In 2016, the Denver airport featured a museum-style exhibition of the common conspiracy theories. October is their conspiracy month. So they held this in 2016 on, I think it was on Halloween. They had the conspiracy-themed party, and they played Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
I love that movie.
Yeah. And so just like a quick side note is that the coordinates in that movie for the alien landing are apparently very close to the Denver airport's location. Ooh. It's 51 miles southwest, which, remember, 50 miles south was that aerospace thing.
Yeah.
NORAD is what the
Interesting.
Is. Yeah. One last thing that they added in March 2019, did you see that?
Yes, your light went off.
Yeah, it's Alexa. Alexa, turn Gary on.
You named it Gary.
Another thing is that in March 2019, the airport, no, not 19th. Oh my God.
2019?
Another thing is that in March 2019, the airport unveiled an animated talking gargoyle in the middle of one of the concourses. And so the gargoyle interacts with passengers and jokes with them about the supposed conspiracy theories connected to the airport. And he also calls them out as they're passing. So like I was watching this one video and this guy in a cowboy hat was passing and the gargoyle goes, did you have to buy a ticket for the hat too? and then like he was making fun of this girl and was like, you gotta put that up on the snapbook, huh? And like was just like like playing around, teasing her and stuff. It was really funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know. So many feelings. I also feel like I don't think this is my actual belief of what is happening, but I kind of feel like there's just one asshole in his basement laughing because he's created this huge conspiracy theory and he's obviously very rich, but like created this thing and it's all fake and it's just to make people like us be like, we're gonna go and we're gonna go down in the tunnels and find the thing. And like, I don't think that's actually what's happening, but it's totally possible.
You
some rich, know. Rich billion, like trillionaire person is sitting in their basement with all their consoles and they're just watching people react to their elaborate prank. It was Elon Musk. I'm kidding.
I forget what I was going to say.
Kid in his basement.
Yeah, it was like that reminded me that about someone in their basement. I don't remember. Anyway. No. Yeah, I agree. Anything is possible.
Yeah.
Any other last minute theories? That's what it was. So. It was a last minute theory. It was about something up here. It was about something. Okay. Oh. I remember now. What if the man, the artist that built Lucifer, discovered something and didn't know that he was working with the Illuminati, like they were his people helping him, his assistants, or what do they call them? The people that help artists, their mentees? Apprentices were the Illuminati.
Oh my God.
And staged his death.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Because he discovered something. Maybe he found something underground. Maybe something's hidden inside Lucifer.
What if it's like a Trojan horse situation and there's like a person in there?
Yeah. And they threw the penis, the horse penis in there to throw everyone off. Because everyone's just staring at the penis in the eyes, but really it's the tail that opens the gate to the freaking tunnel.
There's a hinge. Underneath. There's a hinge and it's made. Oh my God, it's the secret entrance and the whole horse just like clink and like sinks into the ground.
Everybody gets on the back of the horse and they ride into the ground.
It's so Goonies. I love it.
Gosh. This has to be a movie that Nicolas Cage does. Like
it
this
has to.
The next National Treasure. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
This is it.
Yep.
Nicolas Cage.
Indiana Jones is too old now.
Yeah.
Gotta be Nick.
Get on the back of that horse and go to those tunnels and find the Declaration of Independence.
And then steal it.
Ugh.
It's like the original. What if at the bottom, I'm getting so nuts now, but what if at the bottom it's like the lost book of Judas? Because that's a missing Bible book.
Yes.
The book of Judas.
What if there's a lot of missing things that the Illuminati have acquired that have gone missing?
What if JonBenet is down there?
Yeah, you never know.
The Lindbergh baby.
Yeah.
It's just an adult. He's like, I'm the file. I keep the files. That's crazy.
Yeah.
This theory that I just invented.
I love it. I love it.
I would watch that movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nick Cage, this is for you.
Yeah. No, they have to give us. I think that this is like a legally binding thing. Like they would have to give us. I mean, we put it out in the universe first. We need to copyright it, I think, or patent it or something.
Yep. We'll copy verbal contract. It's ours. We get royalties. Thank you.
Yeah.
We have a writer on standby.
Yeah. If you or someone you know is part of the Illuminati or a reptilian, please feel free to email us at mrreticle@gmail.com. Follow us at mrreticle on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok.
And maybe we'll see you in the bunker.
And don't play with strangers.
And don't trust your government. Siri? I heard her.
Yeah, I was like, dude.